He wrote a book from his youth called Songs of Solomon. Any of you ever read that? It's a very interesting book. And then he wrote a book from his middle age, and it was the book of Proverbs, and there's lots of great wisdom in it. Anybody read Proverbs? Oh, yes, we've all read that. And then when he's on the off-ramp in his old age, he wrote Ecclesiastes. And so here's some words from Ecclesiastes from the wealthiest and wisest man in the Bible, Solomon. Let's see what he has to say. Whoever loves money will never be satisfied with money. Whoever loves wealth will never be satisfied with more income. Even this is pointless. Point number one, the more you have, the more you want. Okay. When somebody's prosperity increases, those who consume it also increase. So that what does its owners gain except that he gets to see it with his own eyes, because the more you have, the more you spend. Well, listen to what else he says. The sleep of working people is pleasant, whether they eat a little or a lot, but the wealth of the rich will not allow them to sleep. The more you have, the more you, what's the word? Worry. Here is a painful tragedy that I have seen on the earth. Wealth hoarded by its owners to its own misery. Then that wealth was lost in bad business deals. The owners had children, but now they have nothing to give them. The more you have, the more you lose. This is the wisest and wealthiest guy. This isn't my thoughts. Just as they came from their mother's womb naked, so they will leave as naked as they came. They won't even be able to take a handful of their earnings with them for all their hard work. This also is a painful tragedy. They leave exactly as they came. What advantage do they gain from working so hard for the wind? The more you have, the more you leave. Let's look at them again, okay? You ready? The more you have, the more you. 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 The more you have, the more you leave. A rich guy died, and some people were standing around the graveside and said, I wonder how much he left. So, well, he left it all. Well, someone says, like, you know, you can't take it with you. Well, someone says, if I can't take it with me, I ain't going. You're going. So let's take a look. This morning I want to talk to you about building financial security. And we're not talking about winning the lotto. We're not talking about getting rich quick. I want to talk to you about building, where there's a plan and there's a procedure and there's a process. Building. And then I want to talk to you about finances. There's no doubt about this morning. I want to talk to you about money. The Bible talks about money in 2,350 scriptures. So the Bible talks about it that much. I want to talk to you about it this morning. Money. And then I want to talk to you about security, building financial security, that peace, that calm, that contentment that comes when you build your life on the Word of God. Because when we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding, in all our ways, if we acknowledge Him, He will make our path straight. And so we want to talk about that security that comes when we do it God's way. And when we're going to do that this morning, there are six plans. I trust that all of you, did all of you get one of these little booklets? We'll just make sure that you get them. And we'll talk about finding the spot marked X, setting some goals, creating a financial plan, managing your spending, planning for retirement, and then number six, doing the final touches, estate planning. So first of all, I want to start out talk about finding the spot marked X, and it's difficult to follow directions if you don't know where you are. When you go into the mall and you find a mall map, the secret of making a mall map work for you is you find this process. You are here. And all of a sudden, when you find out where you are, then it's easier to know where you need to go to get where you need to get to. So it's really important that we find out the spot marked X. And how do we do that? Well, if we're going to do that, it's important to be honest. If you're lost, it's really important to admit it. There's no sense being in fantasy land when it comes to finding the spot marked X. You've got to be honest about it. Number two, you've got to be open. It's really time to show and tell. When it comes to finances, the best surprise is no surprise. Number three, we need to be thoughtful. How did I get to this spot? How did this happen? Did I lose my job? Was there an accident? Did I get sick? Do I have boomerang children? You launch them, and then they're in your basement again, eating your food. So how did this happen? How did I get to this spot? It's really important to be thoughtful. And then it's important to be emotional. It's really okay to get worked up, because it's worked up people that change our world. And so we need to get mad. And this is the first, and they only get worse. Turn your anguish into anger. We need to, you know, the Bible talks about be angry, but don't sin in that anger. And I can tell you, the only people that change our world are people that get angry about something. And they're saying, I'm not putting up with it anymore. And it's then that things start to change. And when you get really mad about your finances, say, I'm not putting up with this anymore, then it's going to change. But as long as as you're content with it, you'll live with it. Okay. So get mad. Get hopeful. I love the verse that says, where would I be if I did not believe that I would experience the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? Amen. Not in the sweet by and by, not in the then and there, but in the here and now we can experience the goodness of God. Get hopeful. Nothing is impossible with God. What's impossible with men is possible with God. So your finances, it's possible to be hopeful about them. And number three, get started. Here's a very important sentence. It's the start that stops most people. Did you get that? It's the start that stops most people. And I really believe that a job well started is half done. If you can just find the start button and get going. And so it's important to get started. And then there are some laws of economics. And here's the first of three or four I want to share with you. And the first law of economics is called the OO law of economics. And what does it look like? Well, every one of us deals with it. And the first O stands for everything that you own. But there's another O. Everything that you owe. And when you subtract everything that you own from everything that you owe, you end up with your net worth. Everybody in this room deals with this law. And sometimes it's like this. Uh-oh. That's not the goal, though. But so your net worth would look something like this. Everything that you own. And then if you were to put down everything that you owe, it would look something like this. And if you subtract it, what you own from what you owe, then you end up with your net worth. And when I talk to people this week, when you come in for an appointment, one of the things that I'm going to do is I'm going to help you develop a net worth statement so you will see in a general sense where you are financially if you were to cash out. And it's important to know that. And so number two, setting some goals. And when it comes to setting some goals, we're here, but we want to get to there. And between here and there, there's just one letter difference, T. But when do you want to get from here to there? Do you want to do that in a couple of months? Would you like to do that in a couple of years? When would you like to do that? It's really important to figure out when you'd like to do that. Because goals, if they're going to work, must be, number one, specific. It's important that they be specific. It's not just I want to lose some weight. I want to lose 30 pounds. It's not just I want to save some money. I want to save $5,500 so I've got money set aside for my tax-free savings account this year. So it's really important that we be specific. Number two, that they must be measurable. What gets measured gets done. Did you get that? You want to start getting something done in your life, start measuring it. Then things start happening. They've got to be attainable. There's no sense being in fantasy. It's got to be attainable for you. Number three, it's got to be realistic. It's got to be in reality for you. And then number four, it's got to be timely. It's got to be have a date on it, because a goal is a dream with a date. And so it's got to be timely. And when your goals are specific and they're measurable and attainable and realistic and timely, then you end up with some smart goals and you'll be able to reach those goals. So number three, creating a financial plan, page 14 in the booklet. And when we create a financial plan, we've got to, number one, make a commitment to God. Number two, the Bible says, commit to the Lord whatever you do and your plans will succeed, Proverbs 16, verse 3. Number two, we've got to get help from informed people and from reliable sources. Yeah, but it's going to cost me some money to get that help. Yeah, it is going to cost you some money. It's called an accountant. It's called a lawyer. It's called a financial advisor. They cost money. I was talking to my lawyer, and after an hour, he reached and looked at his watch on the 38th floor of the Scotia Place, a spectacular view of Jasper Avenue from the 38th floor of Scotia Place in Edmonton. And he looked at his watch after an hour and says, "Now, Lauren, we've been talking for an hour. You do know I charge $500 an hour, don't you?" "Well, of course, you know, like, why would I think it is?" So it's going to cost you some money to get some help. But listen, it's nothing compared to the bonehead mistake you're going to make if you don't get some good financial advice. And it's like, I mean, there are people on my board of directors, I don't make decisions without consulting with them, either directly or indirectly. There's a financial advisor that helps me, and there's a lawyer that helps me, and there's an accountant that helps me. And I just sat down with my accountant, and he helped me with my income tax, and it's going to be pricey. I'm going to hate that bill when it comes. But it's better than the mistake I'd have made without the advice. So get some good source from reliable help and build those people onto your team. Because the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. Number three, invoke the old McDonald law of economics. You've met the OO law of economics. Here's the second one, the old McDonald law of economics. Old McDonald had a farm? EIO. I thought you knew about the farm. Okay, so the old McDonald's law of economics is the EIEIO. And the first EI stands for expected income. And your expected income would look something like that. And the second EI stands for expenses incurred. And your expenses incurred would look something like that. And when you subtract one from the other, then you end up with this old McDonald law of economics. Old McDonald had a farm, EIEIO, expected income, expenses incurred, and the outcome is O. But that's not the goal. The goal is to be on the plus side of that, not the negative side of that. So if you're on the negative side of that, you're in trouble and you need to change some things in your life. But that's just a really important law of economics, expected income, expenses incurred. Now, here's the third law of economics, and I know you were just dying for another law of economics. So here's the third, I think the final one. It's called the Einstein law of economics. And it revolves around this word fire. And everyone in this room deals with this law. Here it is. FI stands for find income. So if your finances aren't working for you, guess what? You're going to have to find some income. Say that with me. Find income. Let's say it again. Find income. I get my journal at my house at 4 o'clock in the morning. 4 o'clock. One morning I was up at 4 o'clock. That's why I knew I'd get it at 4 o'clock. I'd been up a couple of times before that. I usually try to get up two or three times at night. Don't get old. Anyway, I was up and heard this rattle in my mailbox. I looked out. There's a spectacular truck on my driveway. And an old man is getting out of the truck and walking to my mailbox with the Edmonton Journal. Oh, I know what happened. I know exactly what happened. He walked onto a Ford dealership and saw this spectacular truck and said to his wife, "Man, I like that truck." Dear fact, I don't think I just like that truck. I think I need that truck. And then he walked around a little bit more and I said, "Dear, I gotta have that truck." And she looked at him and said, "Need to find some income, because we don't have any money for that truck." So you know what he does? He's up at 3 o'clock in the morning. From 4 o'clock till 5:30, 6 o'clock, he's delivering the Edmonton Journal. And then he goes to his next job. And so all I'm simply saying to you this: if your finances aren't working for you on paper, you're going to have to find some income. Get a better job, get a job that pays you more money, or get another job. You're going to have to find some income. And the RE stands for, you'll love this, reduce expenses. I mean, if your finances aren't working, you just never get away from this law. You've got to either find some more income or you've got to reduce your expenses. And how do you do that? Well, you do that through the power of a positive no. You do that through what the Bible calls contentment. Godlikeness with contentment is great gain. Like, you've got no ideas of things you can do without until you try. Here, you want to see? We spend money we don't have to buy things we don't need to impress people we don't like. That's nuts. But we do that because our world's got an angle for every buck we can get our hand on. And at some point, we've got to stand up and say, no, I've got enough. Because we've got to reduce expenses. Not a popular theme, but you have to do that. We all have to do that. And so, managing our spending, principle number 4 involves God. It involves the Canada Revenue Agency. It involves you and your family. It involves your employer, your creditor, and your neighbors. Let's take a look. God comes first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not take thought, be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own, but seek God first. What else does the Bible say? Well, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I won't throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not be enough room for it. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Quickly, just want to tell you that the only way to acknowledge that everything belongs to God is to pay your tithe. I'll give it to Gain, because, you know, when I borrow money from the Bank of Montreal for a mortgage, I pay that money back to the bank with two parts. There's a principal part and there's an interest part to the payment. And every payment until I get free from the Bank of Montreal has a principal part and an interest part. I pay the interest because the interest keeps clear that the principal belongs to the Bank of Montreal. The only way to keep that clear, the principal belongs to the Bank of Montreal, is when I pay the interest. If I was to walk into the Bank of Montreal with a spectacular bag of potatoes and say, "Hey, I don't have my payment, but here's a bag of potatoes," they'd tell me to take a hike. Because the only way to keep it clear is paying the principal and the interest. That's the only way to keep that clear. Now, the only way to keep clear that 100% of the money in your wallet belongs to God is by paying your tithes. That's the only way you keep that clear. And every time I write out my tithe check, I'm keeping clear, it all belongs to you, God. 100% of it is yours. Amen. The gold is his. The silver is his. The cattle on 1,000 hills is his. It all belongs to him. That's why we can't take it with us, because it's not ours. We get to use it and abuse it, but it's not ours. We leave it behind because it's not ours. And the only way you keep that clear is every time you write your tithe check out, you keep it clear. It all belongs to God. It all belongs to God. It all belongs to God. I get to live on 90% of it, but it all belongs to the Lord. And every time you write your tithe check, you keep that clear. You don't tithe because this church has got a mortgage payment coming up. You don't tithe because someone wants to go to a mission field somewhere. You don't tithe because there's utility payments coming. We tithe to keep it clear that it all belongs to God. If you get that straightened out, it will really, really help you with your finances. Now, let's go on. Okay. See, I told you they got worse. God comes first. Whosoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whosoever sows generously will also reap generously. Every man should give what he has determined in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. Your pastor likes a cheerful giver too, but we'll take from a grump. Doesn't matter, you know. But God is able. God is able to do what? To make all grace. That's everything that you need. Out of God's ability flows all grace. God is able to make all grace, what? Abound towards you, so that you, having all sufficiency in all things, enough, can abound towards every good work. I mean, it's God's cycle of sufficiency. It's an incredible principle. And you've got enough. I've got enough. A guy was going to buy a Mercedes. No, he's going to buy a Rolls Royce. And just before he signed it, he said to the salesman, "How much horsepower has this thing got?" The salesman said, "Never been asked that before. I'll ask my boss." The boss didn't know. And he says, "I'll ask the regional manager." The regional manager didn't know how much horsepower a Rolls Royce had. So he says, "Well, we'll just email England. That's what we'll do." So they emailed the factory in England. "How much horsepower does a Rolls Royce car have?" And the answer came back one word: enough. Guess how much money you and I got? Enough. We got enough. And when you understand you've got enough, amen, because God is able to make all grace abound towards you so that you have all sufficiency in all things, can abound towards every good work. When you realize you've got enough, then you just release it. Amen. It's out of this enoughness that we have this generous, big heart towards the things of God and the work of God. Okay, so God comes first. And then the tax man. Well, I wish it was this simple. "Dear Revenue Canada," Snoopy says, I'm writing to cancel my subscription. Please remove my name from the mailing list." If it was just that simple, but not quite that simple. So here's the good news. Canada Revenue Agency encourages us to give to God. And the tax department promises to refund. Now, this is incredible. In Alberta, between the federal and provincial taxes, we get back 50%, it's really 49%, but 50% of what we give away, it comes back to us by way as a tax credit. So that's a great, not every place in the world is like that, but it's that way in Canada. It's not the greatest, it's not even a reason to give, but it just happens when we give, amen, here in Canada. So new tax laws allows us to receive tax credits for giving up to 75% of our taxable income. And the states can receive tax credit for 100% that they give to a charity. And so here's some other good news. We're responsible citizens and we get to pay taxes to this country. It's the greatest place in the world to live and to serve God. Amen. I mean, the world is dying to get to Canada. I wish you could come with me to Northwest College a couple of weeks ago. Talked to 100 new Canadians there, and they're just dying to get to Canada. It was really easy to rah-rah Canada to that group because it's a great country. But guess what? It costs money to make this country work. Guess who gets to pay that? You and I. Now, don't get carried away when it comes to your taxes, but pay your fair share. Amen? Because not to pay your taxes is to steal. And so it's really important that we pay our fair share when it comes to our taxes. Render to God what's God's, but render to government the things that belong to the government. That's what the Bible tells us. And so it's important for us to understand that. And when it comes to paying your taxes, get some advice. You know, plans fail for lack of counsel, but many advisors, they will succeed. And when it comes to your investing, think of always the tax implications when it comes to your investing. Get advice when it comes to that area. So then the third area is you and your family. You've seen three cartoons so far. This is not a cartoon. I'm just warning you. That's what my family now looks like. And taking it out at my summer cottage. And there we are. So you and your family. It comes to you and your family, it's really important to save. And it's important to save for a rainy day. And to save for an emergency. Well, you say, why would I do that? If I save for an emergency, then I'm going to have an emergency. Now that's, listen, friend, it's hard to fix stupid. Listen, you're going to have an emergency whether you save for it or don't save it for it. You're going to have one. It's like a problem. Here's what we got to do. We got to pray for problems. Then when they come, they'll come as an answer to prayer. Now that's deep theology. I won't get into that this morning. But Emergencies are going to come. Like, whether you've got the money for them or don't have them, the tires are going to blow. The shingles are going to need to be replaced. It's going to happen. And it's really important for us to set aside some money in an emergency fund. I've set my emergency funds aside in my tax-free savings account. And that's where I keep mine at. How do you save? Well, here's the method I use. Are you ready for it? It's called the 10-10-80 program. Every dollar that comes my way, I give away 10 cents of it. Right away. For me, it's called tithing. I just give it away. Even if you're a heathen, you ought to give away 10%. Just find a charity or find a cause and give it to it. God gives to givers. You know? And so I just pay my tithe. Then secondly, I pay the second most important person in my world. You know who that is? Me. I pay me. And right away, I take 10 cents on the dollar and I set it aside and I invest it. Of course, then, my goodness, there's $100 in there. There's $1,000 in there. Where did that come from? There's $2,000. Where did that come from? Every time a dollar comes in, 10 cents goes to me. Then I had to learn how to invest that money. I'd had to learn how to manage that money. And then that became money that when an emergency came along, I would borrow from me. And then I would pay me back with interest. I pay me what the Bank of Montreal charges me. Whenever I buy something new, I borrow from me. So that's what I do. So some people use the 10 plus program. They buy something for $100 and then they save an extra $10. I don't know. I heard about a mother that said to her kids, clip coupons and your allowance is going to be the coupons that I use when I shop for groceries. If you clip like a bum, you're going to have an allowance like a bum, but if you clip like a queen, you're going to have an allowance like a queen. A neat little idea. But anyway, in the house of the wise are strong, our stores and choices of food. But the foolish man, please read this, the foolish man devours all he has. Do you see that? That's what the Bible says about people who don't save. So you and your family, you and your employer, quickly, I just want to tell you that you're only going to have a job as long as your employer makes money. Duh. Your employer quits making money, you're going to quit having a job. So, basic thing is this. We are committed to the success of our employer. We're committed to their success. And of course we'll come in early. Of course we'll stay late. Of course we'll work overtime. Of course we won't take an extra 10 minutes at lunch. Of course we won't leave early and charge full hours for that. Of course we won't steal. Because we're committed to the success of our employers. And it's important to communicate that. And then your creditors. And when it comes to your creditors, the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is servant to the lender, the Bible says. Like, the Bible doesn't have one good thing to say about debt. The Bible does not have one good thing to say about debt. To be in debt is to be in danger. To be in debt is to be a slave to the person that you are in debt to. To be in debt is to be in prison. And debt is a prison best left as soon as possible. To sum it all up, the Bible puts it this way. Owe no man anything. Pretty hard to miss that. And so, if you are in debt, it's really important to communicate to those that you are in debt to. And stop credit card spending. If you don't pay off your credit cards in full each month, you're abusing credit cards. If you don't pay them off in full each month, you're abusing the use of credit cards. Like when the present is Choice Financial, pounds their suspenders because they're giving out 2.6% interest rate now. And Visa charges you 19.95%. Why would you do that? It's insane. So stop. Here, here's how you're going to do it. You're going to take your credit cards. You're going to get a milk carton. A liter will do, but if you want 2 liters, 2 liters will do too. You're going to drink the milk, wash it out, fill it with water, throw your credit cards in there. Put it in the deep freeze, freeze them. They'll still work when you thaw them out again, but you're going to have to thaw them before you use them again. And it's really hard to carry a 2 liter around with you. So, when you live on credit, you're paying more. When you live on credit, you're paying more. You go into a restaurant for lunch, Smitty's, you got $30 in your wallet. How much are you going to pay for lunch? I'll tell you, not more than $30. But if you don't have cash, but you got a credit card, how much are you going to pay for lunch? Who knows? What are you hungry for? People that live on credit pay more for life. Discipline yourself to get on a cash system. You'll spend less, guaranteed. Stop credit card spending. If you have credit cards, pay off debts charging the highest interest rate. Minimum amount on the others, but the one you're charging the highest rate, go after that with a vengeance. When you get that paid off, roll that money or snowball that money off to the next one. And when you get that one paid off, snowball that money or roll it over to the next one and get them paid off. And then come to me, I'll cut them up for you. Okay. Write creditors and explain your plan to pay off your debt. If you're in debt and you're not making your payments, don't go silent on them, because they'll go ballistic on you. If you can't make a payment, write them, phone them, say, this is what I was supposed to pay you. This is why I can't pay you. But this is what I can pay you now. And if you'll just keep communicating with your debtors, with your creditor, it'll keep them on side with you, and you want to keep them on side. And then consider a lifestyle adjustment. A prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keeps going and suffers for it. Stop any form of borrowing, develop a budget, and your budget would look something like that. Remember, if it doesn't work on paper, it's not going to work. So develop a budget, and then work a payback plan, exercise self-discipline as a lifestyle, and seek counsel, and learn to trust God. So you and your neighbors, just simply want to let you know that one of the big words for Christianity is charity, and it's possible to give away and become richer. It's possible to hold on tightly and lose everything. Yes, the liberal man shall be rich by watering others. He waters himself, and we're to be a blessing to others. So just make sure that God uses you in that area, and we give stuff away, and make sure that you do that. And now, number 5, retirement. Here's some questions that we've got to ask ourselves. Number 1, am I in a financial situation to live in a manner that will be satisfying to me and my spouse? Question number 2, will I be able to use my time in a manner that will make life enjoyable? Number 3, am I mentally prepared to accept change from a working life to a retirement life? Number 4, will my present home help or hinder my life in retirement? Are there good reasons to move elsewhere? And do my plans take into account the wishes, interests, and welfare of my spouse so that we will be able to live happily ever after? There's a great book out called The New Retirement Mentality by Mitch Anthony. Don't buy the book. I'll give you the book. Oh, I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you so much. The sermon's getting dry, so we're going to just... Poison it and me up. Thanks, Joseph. Appreciate that. Where was I? The New Retirement Mentality. Here's the book, in a sentence. As long as you've got something to give, give that something. I love that line. When should I retire? When should I quit? As long as you got something to give, give that something. As long as you're contributing, keep contributing. Like, I wish you could come with me to Custom Lighting. We'd go in the back room and we'd find 78-year-old Peter Walishkin. We'd find 75-year-old Mel Jenkins back there. And we'd find just all kinds of guys back there working. working because for Mel Jenkins, he gets some money, then off to the Ukraine, teaches in the Bible school, back, works, gets some more money, back to the Ukraine again. So as long as you can keep contributing, keep working. That's just what I'm simply saying to you. You know, as long as you got something to give, keep fresh and keep giving that. It's just really important. Now, I'll just tell you that when it comes to downsizing, my wife and I are thinking about downsizing. Guess what? When Lauren and Ellen McAllister downsize, I lose. Boo-hoo. She's still going to have a kitchen. She's still going to have a sink. She's still going to have a stove. She's still going to have a bed to make. She's still going to have a wash machine. I'm going to lose my garage. I'm going to lose my garden. Boo-hoo. You know? But anyway, just understand that, you know, there's going to be some losses there. And someone's going to lose. But it's important to understand that when it comes to planning for retirement. So here's the fact. 1961, 7% of the population of Canada was 65 years of age. 40% of the population of Canada was 19 years of age. In the year 2031, 27% of the population of Canada is going to be 65 years of age and older. 14% of the population of Canada is going to be 19 years of age and younger. This is called the graying of our society. And it's not to alarm you, but it's just to help you understand that we've got to take ownership of our retirement reality. We've got to take ownership of that. And so I've got 1,872 Facebook friends, so I figure at least one of them will support me in my old age. That's not a good plan. So start with an RRSP. Canada Revenue Agency informs you each year on your notice of assessment how much you can spend on your RRSP. The eligible amount is based on 80% of your previous year's income, and it maximizes at $23,820. The amount can be carried forward for future years, and so when it comes to if you had started at age 20 with $1,000 a year at 10% interest, at age 40 it would grow to $74,000, at age 65 it would grow to $901,000. That's just $1,000 a year. So if you started at age 45 at $1,000 a year at 10% interest, at age 55 it's $22,000, at age 65 it's $75,000. 45 years of age, $2,500 per year. At 55, it grows to $46,000, and at 65, it grows to $160,000. If you started at age 35, it would grow to $454,000. And, of course, if you started at age 25, when you get to 65, the amount would be $1,559,000.73. That's at 10% interest. Just let me stop and tell you this. Please, please, please hear. Please, please hear this. Nobody pays you 10% because they want to pay you 10%. Please hear this. Risk is always married to rate. Always, always, always. Risk and rate are always married to each other. People pay 10% because they have to pay 10%. The investment is just that risky. When rock-solid banks in Canada are paying 2.6%, and someone comes along and says, I'll give you 10%, it's just that much more risky. That means your chances of losing it have just increased that much. Please, when it comes to investing, understand, as Will Rogers says, I'm not so interested in the return on my money as the return of my money. Right? Please, please understand that. And if it's too good to be true, it's not true. Don't lose your money, even though someone comes along spouting glory, hallelujah. Keep your head on. Keep your head on. It's your head. God expects you to use it. Amen? Amen. I'm just a little ticked over this right now because I won't tell you why. But I got some good friends that lost some major money. And it, I like to just, I'll get on. No, I won't. Okay. So, take advantage of compound interest. tax-free savings account is a great thing to invest some money in. It's after-tax money, and it grows tax-free, and it just it should be included in what you're doing with money. Pentecost Assemblies of Canada has mortgage certificates. You can invest money in it if you'd like to, and then we, Pentecost Assemblies of Canada, loans that money back to churches. And then Pentecost Assemblies of Canada has gift annuities, and if you want to know more about either of those, I can tell you about them after the service. Just let me quickly go on here. So I want to talk to you just quickly in closing now about estate planning. While you're still here, you need, number one, a substitute decision maker. If the fog ever rolls in and you can't make decisions for yourself, you need someone who can make decisions concerning your property management and your investments. You need someone that can make decisions concerning your health care and carry out your wishes regarding that area of your life. And it's just important. Like, you have to have that in place before you need it. When people come in to see me, one of the things that I'm going to develop for you is a power of attorney document for personal care covering the health side of your life. The second thing I'm going to develop for you is a power of attorney for your property, for the business side of your life. If you can't make decisions for yourself, if you're married, your spouse will make them for you. If they can't do it for you, then an alternate person will make those decisions for you. It's really important to have that in place. That's the first thing you need to give some thought to. Listen, you say tomorrow or today we'll do this and that and we'll spend a year and we'll carry on business and we'll make money and we don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? It's a mist that appears for a while and vanishes. You see, like, life is like pulling rope out of a box. Monday. Tuesday. Tough Wednesday. Thursday. Easy. And every day we go back to the box, we're wondering something. You know what we're wondering? Everyone, how much rope I got in that box? And guess what? I don't know. You don't know. That's what the Bible is saying. You don't know. So we've got to live our life with an understanding. We don't know how much rope is in our box. So we've got to plan our life around that reality. Well, here's the statistics. Only 3 out of 10 Canadians have a prepared will. That means 7 out of 10, 70% don't have a will. Many say, they don't have enough to make it worthwhile, or here's stupidity. They think they'll die if they make a will. Now that's dumb. Many say, well, only old people die. It's only for the elderly. Well, there's plenty of time. Yeah, right. Who needs a will? If you're 18 years of age, each the age of majority, you need a will. If you've been recently married or recently divorced, you need a will to reflect that. If there are special family concerns, a special child that's going to need long care, you need a will. If your will doesn't reflect your current thinking, you need to have your will changed. If your will doesn't provide for the Lord's work, like all of your life you've been investing in the work of the Lord, and if your current will doesn't do that, you can have a will, a charitable will, that will do just that for you. If you're a new parent, you need a will, because who's going to be the guardian for those children? You've got to name that. A will's avoid conflict at a time of emotional loss. It provides for a way to your assets to be distributed. It provides for special circumstances. It secures the future of minor children by naming a guardian or a trustee. It allows you to make a provision for some of your work to go to the Lord's work if you'd like to do that, and it can save you some estate money. If you don't have a will, it's called dying intestate, and if you don't have a will, the government of Alberta's got a will for you. It's not that it's a bad will. It's called the Wills and Succession Act, and it's 80 pages, and if you want some good night's reading, it'll put you to sleep. But it's going to happen. But it won't be what you want. And so if you have a will, you can just make some of your money go exactly where you want it to go. So here's what you need to be thinking about. If you're coming in to see me, you want to, or going into a lawyer to get a will done, who's going to be the executor? Who's going to execute your will? Husbands and wives do that for each other. And then we want to have an alternate executor. Number two, who's going to be the guardian for my minor children? All children under 18. Who's going to be the guardian for those children? What ages of the children should I have my assets distributed to them? We're going to suggest half of them comes to them at 18 to help them get to university or vocational school, and half of it when they come to 22. Do I want some of my assets to continue to support the Lord's work? Will I do it myself? Will I get assistance from another? Will I turn it over to a lawyer? Will I go in on a Staples and spend $9.95 or $24 and get the CD version and do it myself? You can do that. You sit down with a lawyer. Lawyers are spectacular at helping people with their wills. This week, you can come and see me here, down the basement, but get to the bottom of the stairs, turn left. The only room in the basement, well, there's two other rooms with fans down there. Three other rooms, kitchen, men's, women, and then that room. Don't worry if it gets too hot. We got a fan down there, okay? So you know where I'm talking about. So come on down, and if you sign up, you can sign up in the lobby there and book take an hour, and I'll be glad to meet you. It won't cost you anything. It's absolutely free to you. It's free to you because I get paid from our National Stewardship Department. It's free to you because your church is sponsoring me and bringing me in this week, and I'm here. Any food that I eat, Pastor Sion's going to pay for it. You know what I mean? And so it's free to you because it's covered off by somebody else. So it's a free service to you, and you can get it done this week, Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday, or Wednesday. Prefer if you just fill up today and tomorrow, and if I need to come back Tuesday, I'll glad to do that. But so here's what a traditional will looks like. Goes from one spouse to the second spouse. Fees kick in at the death of the second person, which would be realtor fees and lawyer fees, and probate happens at that point, and then a distribution is made to the children. And how long does it take children to spend your inheritance? 6 months. And here's what a charitable will looks like. Goes from one spouse down to the second spouse. Fees kick in at the death of the second spouse. The percentage goes to a charity, and then the residue is divided between the children. If you give to the Pentecost Assemblies of Canada, we're involved in missions work, reaching the lost around the world and planting churches, and we're involved in equipping and training leaders and caring for orphans, and never thrills me anymore when I get a will that goes to a local church or a will that goes to PAOC missions. It's a great investment. So, but when you do make a charitable donation, because we live in Alberta, about 50% of that comes back as a tax refund into the estate. So the $170,000 gets divided between the children, and then the $10,000 gets divided between the children. And that's what happens with the charitable will. So we're just about finished. Charitable wills recognizes the blessing of God. A charitable will expresses a personal philosophy that includes others. A charitable will demonstrates values to family members that are left behind. And a charitable will provides a sense of self-satisfaction as we live out the days of our lives. I just wish I had more time to talk about that. And then there's the Canada Revenue Agency. At the end, we want to hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things, and I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's inheritance." Ray Kroc says this. Well, you say, who's Ray Kroc? Well, you maybe don't know Ray, but you've eaten his hamburger because he's the guy that founded McDonald's. Ray Kroc says this: make sure when it comes time to die, all you have to do is die. That's good advice. So if you'd like to come and meet me, I'd be glad to do that. There's a sign-up sheet out in the lobby there, understand there's no products are going to be offered, no products are going to be sold, there's nothing for sale, they're confidential consultations, they last for an hour. Please understand that if something of a pastoral nature comes up that I think your pastor needs to know about, I'm going to get your permission before I whisper it to your pastor, because what I'm going to know, I want him to know, because I'm not going to let you get burned up by something that he needs to know about. So just understand that I'll work with you on that. And then there'll be no specific investment advice is going to be given. My son is an investment advisor. He says to me, "Dad, you're not an investment advisor. Don't give any investment advice." So I won't. Okay. So now listen, we're done.